This is your classic. It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and as it is a Friday, so it's time for me to catch up with John Letts, my horse racing expert, and we'll have a chat about, well, just about everything else that's going on in the world as well. How are you this morning, John?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good, Jordan. We've been going right on the tips at the moment. Like, everything's been falling into place. This weekend, I don't know. We had a lot of rain here last night, and some of these horses on these tracks at different performance here in Melbourne. The tracks are going to change around a bit into pretty heavy, sloggy going. But we've tried to, you know, see if we can get some in Melbourne with a bit of value, some here are, you know, well in the betting. But there was some good winners for us last week, so hopefully we can keep it up. And I know some people up there at Port Augusta, and there's actually people up in Queensland picked this station up, Jordan, you know, on
we had someone in Finland email the station saying they picked us up on their AM radio all the way over there. So, you know, we've got legs.
Yeah, we have. Hey, well, as long as we keep tipping winners and telling them what they want to hear and being controversial, you'll keep listeners forever. Yeah, so in Finland, hello you Finland guy, oh, hello you Finns, and hello you banana benders up there in Queensland. great to be talking to you this morning, and hope you're having a good day, and keep well. That's
and
the main
yeah, and anyone in Queensland, make sure you go to the grand final for us when Port Adelaide get in, and cheer them on for us.
Won't that be good, eh? That be good if we get in there, and this is what we're hoping for. I mean, people are going to be disappointed it's not at the Adelaide Oval, but look, it doesn't matter where it is, as long as we win it. That's what we want. We don't care if they play it down at the Alberton Oval, as long as we win it. So that's the main thing. Anyway, mate, a few things that I'd like to bring up this morning. What's your thoughts just on 40% off guilty pleas? If, you know, I'll just ask you a question, Jordan. If I'm speeding and I go to court and I plead guilty, do I get 40% off the fine?
The thing is, I get the logic of it. It's that it's trying to encourage people who are on like serious criminal charges to plead guilty and not go through the whole rigmarole of a trial. But 40% is a pretty big slice of your sentence off. And it is, I've been finding it kind of entertaining that it's the opposition party at the moment who are very much pushing for that 40% off to be scrapped when they're the ones who brought it in the first place in the last couple of
years. Yeah, they brought it in, didn't they? The Labor Party brought that in.
But now they're acting like it's a big deal that the Liberals haven't scrapped it yet when it was, you know, they brought in.
Oh, well, that's the Labor Party for you. They're always complaining, the opposition. What about all the things? What about, you talk about the Labor Party. What about when they built that white elephant, the Adelaide Hospital, the busiest intersection in Adelaide? $2.5 billion was the quote, and it cost us $12.5 billion. And now our kids are going to be paying, I think it's $1 million a day or something, for the next 30 years to pay off that debt. And what about the D-cell? That's been pretty handy, hasn't it?
Mm.
Have they ever turned it on?
Yeah, I'm not too sure.
I don't think they have.
When it comes to, like, you know, paying $1 million a day, you know, young people like myself, I think we're pretty much accustomed to the fact that we're going to be saddled with a lot of debt for the rest of our lives. There's been a lot of decisions throughout the history of the world. Yeah,
this is the biggest one, mate. This one, this $12.5 billion, that will never go away.
No.
You bet your life on that. That will never, ever go. Hey, I'll tell you something else that I did read in the paper, and I was very disappointed that did you see that photo yesterday in the paper of, you know, the pigs in the Rundle Mall?
Oh, right, yeah.
Defaced them, you know, and they painted on them.
Hmm.
I think what it might do, and if the government, well, I don't know who put it there, whether the council or the government put those pigs here, but a couple of years ago, I was over in New Zealand at a place called Farlap Racetrack, and they have got a big statue of Farlap out the front of the track. Now, it's a big statue of him with the jockey on top, and he's in a galloping mode, you know, and he's on one leg, you know, like when he's got the one leg on the ground when he's galloping, he's in full galloping mode. That leg cost them $250,000 for the one leg. I don't know what the whole statue cost them. It cost them $250,000, that one leg, to make it earthquake-proof, and they have got some sort of solution that they've got on that on the statue that you cannot deface it. You cannot paint it. You cannot put anything on it because it all runs off. So I reckon it might be an idea if the council would send someone over and say, or write to them or, you know, get in touch with them, because you cannot deface it in any way whatsoever. It all just runs off. So I've never heard of it before, but I said, well, what if someone comes out and throws a tin of paint over it? They said, doesn't matter, it just runs off.
Yeah, but then you've got a bunch of paint on the ground.
Yeah, but I mean, it's better than that on the pigs.
Yeah, it's probably true. And, you know, the pigs in Rundamool are pretty harmless statues in themselves. So no way. I mean, but, you know, pigs are names for all sorts of things in society, so.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you something that I learned during the week, and I don't know whether you knew it or I didn't know it, but do you know where the handshake originated from?
You know, I have
idea. And when? Well, it was just incredible, because I was watching this program and they were talking about how things originated. And, you know, when you see the knights of years ago, say King Arthur, and they always have the sword on the left-hand side, you know how they grab
the sword. Yeah. So one hand on the hilt of the sword and the other hand out to shake.
Well, actually, the sword is on the left-hand side, because when they get on the horse, they get on from that side and they lift their leg over to get into the saddle. With the sword there, they can't do it. So the sword is on the left-hand side and it stays that side. Okay, now the handshake, it originated in the Dark Ages. It was a way of greeting a person to show them that you did not have a weapon in your hand.
Yeah, because if you're right-handed, you're reaching for your sword with your right hand, you're shaking with your right hand, grab a sword.
That's how it originated, yeah. And I thought, some of those things that you pick up as you go along, you think, wow, you know, it's just unbelievable how some of these things originate,
and we still do it to this day, aren't they? And we still do it to this day, and nobody carries a sword around anymore, though, well, at least they shouldn't be.
No, well, it shows you didn't have a weapon in your hand, so you just shake hands. But tell me this, we all sneeze into our elbow, don't we?
Well, we should be, yes.
Yeah, and then we rub elbows.
Yeah. Hey? That's now one of those... We sneeze into the inside and, you know... Bump elbows on the front, I don't know, but it's just one of those, I guess, idiosyncrasies we've developed in the age of coronavirus.
Well, I just cannot understand why you should sneeze into your elbow and then rub elbows with someone else.
But the good thing is that it is physically impossible for the majority of humans, like 99.9% of humans, to, you know, lick their elbow. So I think if we're getting the coronavirus on our elbows, it's essentially a safe spot. We can't actually get to it with our face.
I'd just say, I'd make it, you just say hello.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to do it.
I think the best way, and that's the safest way. And another thing too, that up there, watching the football. Now, please put Bruce McAvaney and Dennis Cometti back on. Please put them back on, and so that I can put the volume up. I put it on the mute when these other blokes start broadcasting. And with Bruce McAvaney and Dennis Cometti, and I know Dennis doesn't do it anymore, but they were untouchable, weren't they? They were the best.
Mm. I feel like with final season just around the corner, Bruce probably, you know, they'll dust him off and get him back on the commentary team.
I hope so, because there's only one Bruce McAvaney and there's only one Dennis Cometti. Now, what about the situation at the moment where these people have come in from interstate from Victoria, and they've got a connection with the Port Adelaide.
Yeah, the family members.
But Stephen Marshall never knew anything about it, and I mean it was done more or less behind his back, you could say. But the opposition will blame him. Don't worry, because they've got nothing else to blame. That's all. Their mistakes are never. They never make mistakes. But Stephen Marshall, and I think him and. Him and Nicola Spiri have done a marvellous job to keep us safe, haven't they?
Yeah. It's I mean, the results speak for themselves, don't they?
Yeah. Well, you know, people don't seem to think before they say things sometimes. And I had a friend a couple of weeks ago died in a boating accident interstate. I couldn't go. He'd been a friend of mine for 50 years, and I've got another friend who's gravely ill in Victoria, and. But he understands the situation. So, I mean, we don't want that thing here. But I see they sent, Nicola Spurious, she sent a few of them back. So that's good. Let's send them back. We don't want them here. We don't want them here. We want to be safe and we want to be well. But the selfish ones, well, they'll push the boundaries. Anyway, let's get off of them. When I start talking about them, I get sort of bored.
You're working yourself up.
yeah, you do get yourself. And a lot of people I know are worked up about it too. So anyway, let's have a look at the races and see if we can get a winner out of these. And it's going to be pretty ordinary tracks, I think, in Adelaide tomorrow or today. And Melbourne look like they're going to get a bit of weather too as well, Jordan. But anyway, we'll have a crack at some of these and see how we go. In race one in Adelaide, I like number 4, Quietly Discreet. It's only very, very short, but it's from the Philip Stokes yard, and it's very good. I think it'll win race one, number 4. Race 2, I like number 4, Andrea Manteca. Well, it's about a $5.50 chance. Race 3, I like number 4, Talamo. It's $3.50. None of these are very good odds in Adelaide, and I think that the reason is that I've looked at these is the tracks are going to be, it's going to be pretty ordinary here tomorrow. Race 4, I like number 5, a horse called Exalted Traveller, $3.50. But I've taken in a Quinella with a horse called Sedante, number 4, which is only short as well. It's only $2.40. Race 5, horse that won for us last week, Streetcar Stranger, is only $3. Race 5, Streetcar Stranger, I like it. I haven't got the number of it down here. I've just missed that one out, but I'll find that for you very, very quickly because I've got everything everywhere. Race 6, I like number 8, a horse called Catalina. It's $3. The next race, I do like a horse number 8 called The Difference. It's one of the McAvoy camp. I think it can win. Race 8, I like a horse here called Groot, G-R-O-O-T. Now, the horse, that Streetcar Stranger in race 5, Jordan, is number 7. So that's race 5, number 7 there. Race 8, number 4, Groot, I like. Race 9, I like number 4, Dawn Salute, I think it ran second last time out, but it's only $2.50. But there's not good odds in Adelaide tomorrow. Melbourne, we've got a few roughies over there, and we're trying them, and they do handle this type of track. So in race 1, I've gone for the favourite here, number 2, a horse called Howlway Magic. He won for the last time out. Race 2, I like number 10, which is an $11 chance. It's number 10, Power Scheme. Race 3. Look, this is a race. I looked this over and over, and I've kept the horse, and it's $26. Number 2, a horse called Cinder Win. But I just want the listeners to have a dollar a place or a dollar each way on number 5, a horse called Good Idea. I think this horse is going to play a big part in the Spring Carnival. It's trained by Philip Stokes. It's $31 tomorrow, and I think it'll run a race. Race 4, I like number 1, Order of Command at $7. Race 5, number 7, Windstorm, $2.50. Race 6, number 1, Prague is $6. Race 7, I like number 6, Personnel, to beat Instant Celebrity, the filly from here. Race 8, well, this is one of my favourite horses. There's nods on favourite in this, but in race 8, I like number 6, a horse called Mr. Quickie. So he's about $8, and I'd take him into favourite with Russian Camelot and the Quinella, which is number 10, but it's only even money. And in the last race, I like number 9, a horse called Juniper, which is about $4. So as I see him tomorrow, I like them in race 1, number 4 in Adelaide, race 2, number 4 Adelaide, race 3, number 4 Adelaide, race 4, I'd Quinella 4 and 5, but 5 and 4 in race 4, race 5, I like number 7, race 6, number 8, race 7, number 8, race 8, number 4, race 9, number 4. We shoot over to Caulfield. Race 1, number 2. Race 2, number 10. Race 3, Quinella race here for the listeners. The numbers are 2 and 5. In race 4, I like number 1. Race 5, number 7. Race 6, number 1. Race 7, it's another Quinella race I like. Number 7, Personnel to beat number 3, Instant Celebrity. Race 8, I like another Quinella race here just for your dollar. Race 8, number 6, Mr. Quickie to beat number 10, Russian Camelot. And in the last race, 9, I like number 9, Juni Power. So if we keep having a good run like we're having, well, things should be pretty good. But just be a little bit wary tomorrow because some of the tracks are going to be... we've had a lot of rain there. Have you had any rain up your way?
It is currently raining a lot right now.
we have had torrential rain here during the night and yesterday.
Yeah, it was pretty heavy this morning. But, you know, can't complain. Yeah. Can't complain about the rain.
Well, you can't complain. If we get it too hot, we complain about the heat, don't we?
Yeah.
And when it rains, we complain about the rain.
Yeah, there's no pleasing some of us.
No, I think the best thing for us to do to complain about a lot that is lock ourselves in a room and watch television.
Yeah, just quiet the brains up a bit.
Yeah, that's for sure, mate, that's for sure.
No worries.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. And we're getting closer to the Melbourne Cup Carnival, which will be great. And I'll bring you up to date on a lot of things that will be happening. We were supposed to go to Kangaroo Island this week with the Melbourne Cup. It was coming over. It's going to be sent over. We've got the 1950 Melbourne Cup, which was won by the South Australian Comic Court. That will be travelling with me to Kangaroo Island. We do that in a week or two's time. But if we're going anywhere around South Australia, I can give the listeners some idea where we're going to be, and they can come along and have their photos taken with us. So, but I'll let you know that next week, Jordan.
No worries. Well, that was John Letts, my horse racing expert, on your Classic It's Breakfast.